Peace and blessings, Harambe Radio, and all African listeners. I want to welcome you all to the 9 o'clock hour of Harambe Radio for the show Liberator Zone with your host, Baye Kemet. And the Liberator Zone is, of course, a space for Africans to articulate their paradigms of practice, their ideologies, and their philosophies. And tonight, my guests, my illustrious guests, for those who know and those who study the Kemetic tradition and those who are practitioners of African culture, you're going to have a wonderful show tonight. I have with me none other than Baba Mfundisi and his wonderful complimentary, African complimentary, the wonderful Abu Sashatmis. And I want to welcome you all for being on the show tonight.
Santa Sana, we appreciate that.
All right, Sakitu. So before we begin, I just want to give the Harambe listeners a brief introduction, if I may, if you will give me your permission to do that.
And deal.
All right. Baba Mfundisi and Abu Sashatmis were two of the first employees that the Garvey School hired in 2003. As I can recall, when we were searching for Walimu, I asked Patricia Smith, Mama Pat at the time, of any elder teachers that we could possibly find in the community. And for some reason, someone said, well, Baba Mfundisi, he's in the New Brunswick area. And I'd already heard of Baba Mfundisi heard of his work and what have you. Contacted him, and it just so happened at the same time that his now wife was moving into the area, and we were able to get two for the price of one. So I guess for all of these basketball fans, we sort of got two free agents off the market, if I may. And so, in fact, actually, it's in the reverse. I apologize. We actually got Abu Sashatmis first, if I can recall correctly. And at the same time, we were still trying to negotiate Baba Mfundisi's schedule. But not to extend the introduction, I just briefly want to add that the foundation of our institution, the Garvey School, Egun Omode Shule, was cemented when we brought on Baba Mfundisi and Abu Sashatmis. And at the time, I did not know that by hiring these two, that we were going to be able to, you know, really build an institution around the wealth and the tradition of their eldership and their knowledge and information and wisdom. And so once the school year began, our students, who always to this day remind me of the teaching and the philosophy and the character development and all of the education and wisdom that our Baba Mfundisi and Abu Sashatmis were able to give to them on a daily and consistent basis. Of course, at the time, they didn't appreciate it, but now they can realize the eldership and the wisdom that they gave to our institution. So, again, I want to say Asante Sana and Modu Pue for all of your support in the first 3 years of helping the Garvey School. Was it 3 years or 4 years? The first 3 years of helping the Garvey School become what it is today and what it is still becoming. Ashe.
Dua.
Dua. Dua. Inter.
All right. So please, can you all, for the Harambe listeners, just give a brief introduction of who you are, just some historical information about yourselves and some of the work that you are doing up in New York City at this time. And please, we have up until 9:30 before we can take a break. So just go ahead and take your time and let me know when you're done.
Okay, I'll start off first. I'm Mfundisi Chihuti Muscat in Haru of Saline. And I'm the CEO here at Black Gold Sacred Cultural Holistic Healing Center. And what we do is we do community work. We are developing minds. We do the rites of passage programs that was traditionally done as indigenous natives, no matter where we were on the planet. If we were in Africa, we would go through these rites of passage programs each 7 years of our lives to prepare us for leadership, prepare us to perpetuate the family, to perpetuate the community, and to perpetuate the nation. And so our institution is a cultural healing institution that is designed to do that. Since most parents have not had those rites of passage programs, they were not able to submit it to their children. And so what we do is we train young people as well as the parents. I say the majority of our people who come through our center are the adults, and they able to pass this information on to their children. So just to give you an idea of the different things we have at the center, we teach meditation, breathing, and yoga classes, something we call Ma'at Akuba Ankh. It's the internal breathing system from ancient Kemet, which you know is Egypt. We teach Kupagana and Gumi, Aha Kemet. It's a Kemetic African martial arts system hailing from the Nile Valley. We have other martial art class here, and other yoga instructors also come in and teach classes here. We have an African dance class, a West African dance class that's done here. We also teach a series of workshops in healing. Every Friday, we have something called the Holistic Healing Center. And we bring in 6-7 different healers, and we form a circle within our spiritual space. And people can pay $7. They come in, and they can go to people who are herbologists. They can go to a person who's a metaphysics specialist, a person who is deals with colorology or crystallology. They can have spiritual consultation from the Kemetic spiritual perspective, from the Yoruba perspective, from the Akan perspective. We have different holistic practitioners, like my Hemet, my wife. She does a ionic foot bath, as well as a spiritual consultation and health consultations. So we do this every Friday from 12 noon to about 3:30. So it's a fantastic way for a person to come in and learn about real healing at a minimal cost. And then they can set up appointments to have a full session, you know, with one of the practitioners if they want. We also give workshops. Dr. Leela Africa comes in and does certification in holistic practitioners, teaching people to be holistic healers. There's reflexology classes. People get certified in reflexology at our center. We have ICES meetings, and myself and my wife are ministers in the International Society of Indigenous Sovereigns, helping people to claim their sovereignty. And so we have this on Mondays, but we also do consultation during the week. My wife doesn't, and she'll talk about it, but she does an excellent job of the Divine Sisters. The first Sunday of every month, we have something called the Divine Sisters and the Divine Brothers. And that's an extension of what I talked about, those rites of passage programs. Women need to talk with other women, and they invite the girls in to understand how they can become women. And they teach them the values and traditional concepts that indigenous people should know, and also the cultural values that will help us not only survive but flourish. So Shishatmas does an excellent job in doing that. And I do the Divine Brothers. So it's like a rites of passage. And then we mix the two of the groups together. And so that the Divine Sisters and the Divine Brothers are working and learning together, because we are together in the society.
That's right.
So it's dynamic to have a mate like that that can help me. Shishatmas is just going to come on and tell you a little bit about herself and tell you some more of the programs we do. And then I'll entertain any questions.
Greetings and blessings. Yes, yes. Peace and blessings to my brother and to the Harambe family. We give thanks and praise. Look, the shot Miss Motniford El Salim, and I am a spiritual scientist. I'm taking the teachings that I've received as an engineer, and now I am taking the teachings of the Creator. Yes, and taking all of that and using it in a holistic fashion. And my teachers have been Dr. Lolila Africa, Queen Afua, in terms of the holistic health and wellness. And we're preparing for an ANC conference at the end of this month. And right. The ANC is standing for African Nubian Kemet Holistic Conference and Expo. and it's going to be featuring the Madu Netcher, which people know as the African-Egyptian hieroglyphics. And it's going to be on the 26th to the 28th. It's going to be a powerful weekend for the whole family. On Friday, we're going to have an opening ceremony reception with a vegetarian dinner. And on Saturday, we're having our conference not far from here, and it's going to have the latest research and information that's taking the Kemet legacy from yesterday to today. How can we use this in our lives today and empower us? And then on Sunday, we're going to be at the Metropolitan Museum. We're going to be doing a Kemet tour. The event is going to take place there in Manhattan, and there's a check-in in Central Park. We're going to be doing a Kemet New Year, because that's the new year for us in ancient times. That's when the Nile Valley began to rise. And all children under 12, it's free. And we have, you know, special packages, and, you know, you can go to our website for that. But that, and on Saturday night, we're having a poetry jam. I guess that's not what you call it. It's actually a little different. It's a music, celestial and poetry of the soul. It's a little different. It's a way of bringing in, meditative music and jazz and the spoken word. We're gonna be having that. And we're doing hip hop. We got the, couple of hip hop here. There's so much to tell you. But what we're doing is we're taking the best of the best of what we as African people have, and bringing it into an institutional fashion so that we can live it every day and not just speak about it and talk about it. Ashe, definitely, peace and blessings. So from this point, we would like to extend and open the lines up, I think. Is that what we want to do now? And
well, I don't know. Yeah, I have some more questions for you.
No problem. No, we're here to answer those questions. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Can you all? But first of all, I want to commend you all on the work that you all are doing, and all of the activity that you all have going on in New York City. And I always receive the emails, and I'm always passing them on, forwarding them. And trying to tell people in the area, in this area, especially North Jersey in New York, that you know where you are and where you're located and the activity that you are going on. I mean, I'm elated. It's just for some reason our schedules are always conflicting. There's probably more mine to yours than you are to ours. But the 26th and 28th, when I saw that flyer, I said, oh, I'm there. I'm excited. And I saw the dates. And I just smacked my head. I said, oh, man, because, of course, we're going to be at a dance conference that weekend. But, again, as I said in the email, soon enough we will link up in divine time, you know. But I want to ask you all if you all can expound on the importance for African people, not only in America but throughout the world, to make this sense of Sankofa or re-Africanization towards practicing African traditions, not only the Yoruba tradition or the Kemetic tradition, you know, but just any and all African spiritual traditions or those that are leading our people to some sense of sovereignty. So if you all can talk about that, maybe in your own work or just others that you are familiar with, why is it important for African people to make this re-Africanization back to spiritual traditions?
Yes, we appreciate that question, and we realize that that's key, because what you're talking about is a cultural connection to your ancestors, and, mm-hmm. and that's what we do through our various traditional spiritual systems. And people without culture is like a tree without roots. So if we're just imitating the imitator, our former oppressor, then that's what's in line for us, destruction. And the first strong wind will blow us over. And so it's important for us to be able to tap in to our ancestral roots, like having a tree with strong wind, strong roots that can withstand a hurricane or a storm. And black people are surely under a hurricane and the storm right now.
That's right.
We have to get over the fact that we've elected a African-American president and realize that if African people are to survive and flourish and to become dynamic people again, it will be from our individual, community, collective family work. And so everything we do is around, we push the language, because language connects you to culture. If you're connected to a culture and don't speak the language, you're on the outside looking in. Are you looking at your culture through a European eye, through the English language? So it's important for you to be able to tap into language, to understand the rituals of your ancestors. I often tell people, you know, sometimes when we're doing rituals to the ancestors, they think it's abstract. I tell them, no, we are the ancestors. We are the culmination of all those people in your family line. They're in your DNA. They are with you. They're around you. And as long as you say their names, speak their energy, then they surround you. They walk with you. They are in your blood. And so it's important for you to make that cultural connection, that spiritual connection, and that language connection. And so that's why we are, you know, we push that at everything. Even in my martial arts class, most of my classes are done in Kiswahili and in Madunetra to change the paradigm, the way that they think, you know, it's the way that you look at your body, the way that you look at the universe. And your body is a microcosm of the universe, which is the macrocosm. And so once you understand yourself, you begin to understand everything around you. And so we can't stress enough the concept of culture, the concept of tapping into our own spiritual basis. You know, and we tell them whatever works for you, whether it's Akan, whether it's Yoruba, whether it's Kemetic, but we say it needs to be something indigenous to us.
That's right.
Because that's holding your culture. And I tell people, any of those systems can help you survive, but they weren't designed to help you flourish, because most of them are flourishing off of your exploitation. So we have to analyze that. If we look at Africa, all those major religions are tearing Africa apart and pulling the people away from their culture. And so that's extremely important.
Just a compliment, Baba Mfundisi. Something that I like the way that you just presented the question, brother, and that's the fact that it is, it doesn't matter what that system is. Sometimes people are doing what the Wazungu or the Europeans is trying to get everybody to be, you know, to be the one, to be the same. But one thing I want to add, especially for the women on that feminine energies are the ones who actually are responsible for bringing forth the rituals and the traditions and then making them real in our lives every day. You've heard of the term, you know, heal a woman, you heal a nation, you teach a man, you teach an individual. It's just that we all have different energies and responsibilities, and the male energy will protect that which the women will bring forth. So the women, we have such a powerful message just by living and looking the culture. And what's happening is that we're taking our African traditions and just using them on the weekend or on special events and that type of thing, as opposed to incorporating them into our everyday life. And the question I have for most is, you know, do we want life or do we want death? And, you know, we're actually, you're feeding death when you're not honoring what the Creator has given to us. Creator has given us life, and we are the original people of the planet, and it is time, in this day and time, to just be, and not to fear. Where is this fear coming from? You know, who are we really truly worshiping, and who do we truly believe in? And so what we do is when we do bring information here, we're showing people how to make this a part of your everyday life. And even for people, brother, you know, there's some people who say, well, I don't understand this African tradition and culture. African tradition and culture is nothing more than actually taking the principles of living in a holistic way, taking back what was given to us from the very beginning, taking the food. It's the foods we're eating. It's the way we speak to one another. It's the goodness. It's really just values placed within a culture, and it's a way of expressing them. So if we can just deal with just that, and but just to stand, to start today, tomorrow, to, you know, our name, taking back, what are we waiting on? We don't have to have permission to be ourselves. So, right. Brother, I feel that the answer is with us, and the only one stopping us is us, and we can change tomorrow. I mean, I decided to do this on my own. I didn't have anyone around me at the time. I just decided I knew that this was what's going to help me and to give me the power to be who I am and to live the life. So, peace and blessings.
All right. You know, you all raised some very important points, and many of them I wish I had enough time to speak on tonight. But, of course, we're going to have you all on the show and again, and I would like to have you all possibly on a rotating basis, because there's no way that I can encapsulate all of the information that you all have to give in 1 hour. But the question I want to ask you all is in terms of African complementarity. In terms of, you know, a man and a woman complementing each other, you all do that very well. You all balance each other. You all represent my eye. Whenever you all speak, whenever I see you all are a complementarity of each other in terms of your outfits, in terms of the things you wear and what have you. And can you just talk a little bit about the importance that African complementarity has on not only the family, but as African people, our communities, our nations, and us as a whole in getting us to some sense of sovereignty?
Well, one of the things that Shashat Majestation is saying is that we represent a cultural paradigm. And the cultural paradigm that we come from the African and indigenous platform, is that male and female are complementary that make up one. And so when we talk about everything that we do, it has to be towards the oneness. See, it can't be me as the male just doing my thing and her as a female doing her thing. It's the family now becomes one unit. We say one plus one equals one. If it equals two, then that's a problem. When you have a child, it's one plus one plus one. Now, if that equals three, then that's a problem, because you got three personalities up in there, and it's going to get real funky. But if you are operating, you have individual aspects to your personality that's complementing the one. Right. But your family, that there's eight people in that family, it has to operate as one. So that's the way we look at it. We run the center as one, the male and female energy. So we have a good balance of programs here that specifically cater to the feminine energy. And yet we have a strong presence for the masculine energy. And we bring in the community at large. Like, we even have a metaphysics series here where we're teaching metaphysics. We have the metaphysics specialists from all around come here. Dr. Phil Valentine, Brother Azariah. All these people come to our center and they speak and they're presenting, you know, because all of this is going to complement us becoming whole people again. And so everything we do has we call ma'at, truth, justice, righteous, harmonious balance. All of it has to do that. So we present the masculine and the feminine in our dress, in our speaking, and in our actions, mentally, physically, and spiritually. So we are conscious when we do our programming. Is this program going to bring in some brothers? Is this program going to bring in some sisters? Or how do we get both of them? Or maybe one program is geared more towards one, and then we'll complement it on a different program. So we're very conscious of that, trying to bring ma'at, because ma'at is the center of whatever we do.
All right.
So hopefully I answered that a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you did. I want you to expound this. Yeah, I just want you to, before we leave you off this point, the concept of one plus one equals one, and not one plus one equaling two. In Medu-Nature, right. I know that the numbering system relates to that. And if you can just break down 1 through 10 or 1 through, you know, what have you, how that notion of 1 plus 1, can, you know, it replicates 1.
Right. Well, we when we're teaching numerical principles, we teach it through the Netru, that is the principles and laws of the universe. We also teach it in terms of the cells inside of the body, the atom.
Right.
And so we show that they parallel each other. And so we say that everything, the whole universe, is one. It's consciousness. Everything is an emanation of the consciousness of the Creator. So that's the one. Then the one, through its consciousness, manifests from itself other aspects. And so that's how we get what appears to be two or three. For example, in the Madhu Netra, we have something called a duality. We don't really have that tense in English or in the Western system, but we have duality. And so that's going back to that male and female principle we talked about. Duality is an example. Everybody knows it as in and out. In and out are aspects of one thing. Up and down, aspects of one thing. If you have a coin, you have heads and tails, two sides to make it one coin. If you got a coin and only got one side, you've been beat, brother.
Right.
So, you know, that's that concept of that oneness. And so in the three, the four, the five, all of that is in the nation of the one. So everything starts from the consciousness. So the Madhu Netra, like when they're counting Wa, Sanu, Shemet, Fadu, Diu, Susu, Sefeku, Kiminu, Pasedju, Maju, they're all slashes of one, equaling being all equaling one.
Right. All right. All right. I think we are close to our halfway point. We have about maybe 2 or 3 minutes. Can you all give the information to your center, your website, your phone number, your address, so that people who are listening could make their way in Harlem to find you all?
Okay, surely. Oh, now, on the second half, maybe we'll get a chance to talk about the oneness within the Netra Roo. But I knew I didn't have enough time to explain that before your break. Our address is 70 West 125th Street. 70 West 125th Street, and we're on the third floor. And we're in Harlem. Area code is 10027. And we're between Malcolm X Boulevard and Fifth Avenue. So we're right in the heart of Harlem. In fact, 125th Street is the heart of Harlem. So we're just so blessed to be right in the heart of Harlem. We're in the same block as the famous juice bar. So we're on that same. And almost everybody who comes to Harlem comes past the juice bar. So if I stand outside of my shop, I'm going to see people from Mississippi, Georgia, Florida, California. They come to Harlem. They come down 125th Street.
That's right. That's right. And when we come to Harlem, we come.
Right, I've seen you a couple times. I've seen you a couple times. You weren't looking for me, but you was going to the juice bar, so you had to pass me.
That's right. But then after that, I was looking for you, so
okay.
It worked out well. What's your website, please, and your email address and phone number?
Okay. The website is www.blackgoldsacredliving.com. All one word. Blackgoldsacredliving.com. Our email is info@blackgoldsacredliving.com. If somebody has something specific they wanted to address to me, then mine is Mfundisi Jehutimas, all one word, Mfundisijhutyms, Mfundisi Jehutimas, at bww.com. And they can reach us at 866-227-3170 or
866-239-5313.
All right, I see. So in complementarity. All right, I see. We're going to go to our breakdown. For the Harambe listeners, you are listening to Bob Mfundisi and Boosa Shopmas here on the Liberated Zone with your host, Baye Kemet.
Harambe, Harambe, Harambe.
Working
together
for
progress.
Feel the oneness of Harambe.
Keep it right there.
Keep it right
there.
Keep it right there.
Attention parents, teachers, students, and educators. Have you set high expectations? and goals for achievement? Are you meeting those expectations? Let the Transformation Network, LLC, an educational advocacy and consulting company, help you. The Transformation Network team has years of proven experience in law, education, business, and advocacy. We want to inform you that we now offer online tutoring service for students 1st grade through 12th. Educational software and books targeting mathematics, science, and our story, and more. The Transformation Network is a socially responsible company that understands the challenges children and adults face when attaining educational goals. Please visit our website at www.theultimatelifechange.com or call 410-209-9687 in Baltimore or Maryland, D.C. Call 202-213-3141. We hope to see you at our upcoming community event in Baltimore Saturday, June 20th at Washington, D.C. at the Charter School Conference Saturday, June 27th. In Baltimore, call 410-209-9687. In D.C. or Maryland, call 202-213-3141 or on the web at www.theultimatelifechange.com.
This is Delani Amon, thanking you for listening to Harambe Radio. Harambe, Harambe, Harambe.
Working together for progress.
Feel the oneness of Harambe.
Keep it right there.
Keep it right there.
Keep it right there.
All right, Alafia. Harambe listeners, you are live with the Liberated Zone. The Liberated Zone is a place in which Africans are free to express their philosophies, their ideologies, and their paradigms of practice. Your host, Baye Kemen, I'm here with my guest, Baba Mfundisi, and I have been corrected. I stand corrected, actually. I my Ori, my head told me that I was incorrect at the initial part of the show, so I asked the question to the elder. And Abusa Shatmas is not correct, but it's Hemetsa Shatmas. Am I correct?
Yes, yes.
Hemetsa Shatmas, I check.
Yes.
All right, Omut, all right. So we have Baba Mfundisi and Hemetsa Shatmas with us today, and we are having a very lively discussion about African spiritual practices, about the Kemetic tradition, about African spiritual traditions, to be more correctly. And I want to get Baba Mfundisi to continue his, his discussion on the oneness of practicing African, or the oneness of all of the African traditions, and how the duality truly does not exist within the Western sense, but in the African sense, duality is actually related to oneness. So if you can continue to expound on that concept, Baba, I greatly appreciate it.
Yes, Asante San. Again, I appreciate that question.
You too.
You see, something you said very key, and that is when you're tapped into your own paradigm, your paradigm to not only survive, but to flourish, and your culture is your medicine. And so our African spiritual system is a medicine for African people, and we're rushing out away from our paradigm. What attracts us probably to Christianity, Judaism, Buddhism, and Hinduism is that all of those roads come from our ancestors. And so some of their truths are our truths, but their culture is not our culture, and that's where the problem lies. In ancient Kemet, I've heard people say, well, a lot of times they look at the book and it has the gods and goddesses of ancient Kemet, and so they get turned off because they got all these gods and goddesses, and they've been taught that there's only one god, and, you know. So I said, oh, no, that's what the Westerners are trying to do to keep us divided and to keep us enslaved in their systems. And actually, they're practicing our stuff in camouflage, okay? Mm-hmm. But let me just give an example. We have something called a power triad, and that's where in ancient early Kemet, one of the first high Netru, one of the divine principles, was Ptah. And Ptah is called the creative spark of the universe. The light of life, the architect of all consciousness, and Jehuti is his tongue and his voice. So now, these aren't physical things. This is a state of consciousness. So Ptah became this powerful energy. It's a principle. It's a law. In other words, Ptah was like a word for God. Now, we go, and later they used the word Ra. Ra is the light. It's not the sun. It's the light that allows to emanate from the sun that gives life here on this planet. And so they realized that There are many suns in the sky, but this one particular one we call Ra is the one that gives life on this planet, that sustains life on this planet. And so Ra is another aspect of Ptah. You know, we're still talking about the one energy that sustains all life as we know it. Then later, they came Amun. Amun is the unseen, unknowable, creative energy, consciousness that holds and permeates through all things. And so, that's another aspect of Ptah and Ra. So here we go with that one again. So this power triad is really one energy manifest in three different ways. Dr. Jacob Kruggers, may his soul and spirit be with us at this moment, was one of my teachers, and he gave a good example. He said, the different Netzaru, the way they express themselves, is like three of us are standing on the corner. I'm on one corner, you're on another corner, and a friend is on another corner, and we all witness an happening, an event. And each of us see the event from three different angles. Or even if it was a car accident, we see it from three different angles. From my angle, I say, yeah, well, the guy skidded in and smashed, you know, and tore the whole front end of his car. Now, you didn't see that part, but everybody saw the junk car getting tore up. So from your side, you say, yeah, this other guy came out of nowhere and just smashed into the front of the car when we were coming down the street. Another person said, no, both people were coming from two different angles. They didn't see each other. They both skidded. But everybody saw the smash. Everybody saw the crash. Everybody saw the damage. And we're all reflecting the same damage, the same crash, the same experience, but we are expressing how it happened three different ways. So this is why in ancient Kemet we realize that all of us are one, but we're expressing ourselves slightly different. And so they knew that if you wasn't attracted one way, you would be attracted another way. And there was another view of expressing this one entity, that there's one consciousness that permeates the whole universe, but it is expressed many different ways. And one person would be turned on by one expression, versus another person is turned on by another expression, but they're not at odds or at war with each other. They're just different ways of expressing the same thing. A lot of times we'll see, like, some of the Yoruba and the Akan deities are very similar to the Netzaru. You know, like if I just take Shango and Haru, they are both warrior energies that are bringing about Ma'at and truth, justice, you know, but they have different names from different, you know, parts of Africa, but they're still expressing one concept, one idea. And we can do this all day, going down the whole pantheon of energies, but we're expressing one energy. So if you're not tapped into your culture, then you'll get bamboozled. And then you'll be able to be hoodwinked and led astray, as Malcolm often taught us. So that's why we stress this oneness of understanding. And the language is the only thing that can really, really do that. You can't study a Khan Yoruba without understanding their language. You can't understand ancient Kemet. And we got a lot of people trying to understand ancient Kemet, and they can't speak Madu Netra. I know people call themselves Kemetic priests. They call themselves Kemetic priests. They can't speak Madu Netra. Like, they're Madu Netra, and they extended their vocabulary amongst this whole camp. You know? And so it's important for you to study the language. That's why we're hosting this conference, again, at the end of the month, 26th, 27th, 28th, here in Harlem, to show the power of the Madu Netra. We had Dr. Vosland Jeffries and Sister Latrella Thornton, the president of the East Region of ASCAP, they're in my Madu Netra class. And we were so high here the other day. We were just, we were translating one of the White Chapel. The White Chapel that's in Karnak, ancient Waset, in ancient Egypt. And it's almost, the writing is almost perfectly intact. And when we translated, we were just so high. We were floating up out of here on what our ancestors said 4,000 years ago. It's earth-shattering. There's nothing you will hear like that in the synagogue, the masjid, or the temple, or even a physics class. This was so dynamic. So that's what this would do next year. That's how we get excited, because it's, and it, everything we do is to move us towards freedom. Now, you said something very, very key. If we were to look at our people 200 years ago, no matter where we were, whether we were touching hell or whether we were independent, freedom was a very important thing. And if we were in bondage, we were always trying to get free, and we were trying to get home.
Right.
What's so dangerous about today is that we're in as much bondage as if we've ever been, and we think we're free.
That's right.
And guess what, my brother? We are not trying to get home. Remember, we were always trying to get home. You know, we're not trying to get home, and we're not trying to get free. Now, I understand there's some Africans saying that North America here is our home. But it's your home when you control it mentally, physically, and spiritually. Where's your army to defend it? Where's your community? Are you building your own homes? Are you building your own, you have your own agriculture? Because that's what independence was. That's what we were trying to do. And so everything we do is about a level of freedom, and that freedom is expressed through your independence to be able to control your destiny. That means you can feed your families. You can control your housing situation. You can control your finances. Somebody else is not doing that for you. So we're not doing this legacy because we don't have nothing else to do. We're doing this to enhance our freedom. We do sovereignty classes not because we don't have nothing else to do on Mondays. We do this to help people pull themselves up by their own, you know, bootstraps and become free and to begin to exercise their freedom. And they exercise their freedom. You see, we empower our enemy. We empower our enemy. If African people and indigenous Aboriginal people right now said, we're not going to support any more institutions that oppress African people. We're only going to spend our money with African people who love us. Because there's some African people who don't love us, right? We're only going to spend money with African people who love us. We're only going to support those institutions. We're only going to send our children to institutions that support the African paradigm. America will collapse in less than a week.
You're right.
And I'm being kind when I say a week. You know, it'd be in a standstill after 3 days. And so we are actually perpetuating our own demise. And so what we're trying to do by teaching our culture, our paradigm, is to try to slowly but surely pull us into a position so we can control our own destiny. And it's so important, our women.
Yeah.
Our women are the first people who they really attack.
Yeah.
Because, you see, Dr. Lila Africa said something to me in a class that made my whole blood just boil almost. It says when they can get our women and change their cultural paradigm, whether it's drugs, the way they dress, and all of that, but it not only affects them, it not only affects their child, but it affects the ovaries of the third generation of the next child. So that means by defeating our women, they destroyed three generations of African people. And Shoshana, since a woman, is going to talk on this just a little bit.
This is, again, I'm the woman. And I just want to say that the woman, we actually have the power to create all that is necessary to bring forth the happiness and things that we're seeking. And what has happened is that we've been mistrained to look outside of ourselves, to blame everything and everyone, as opposed to going within and becoming that example of that which it is that we are wanting to have, as opposed to the complaining and the gossiping and this, that, and the other, and not realizing that we have that in ourselves. And one thing that I think is overlooked is the state of our health and not realizing that that is actually a military action. A matter of fact, most things that you wouldn't think are actually military strategies, and the woman is the first defense, because they know that when they get to the woman, they actually are annihilating the entire nation. So as it may appear that the man is under attack, and as you can, that makes what? It makes the woman actually become almost the enemy of the man, thinking it's him, meaning our men. You understand? And, you know, our boys, you know, you hear all of that. But it goes back to the home. It goes back to the home, and it goes back to the woman in terms of how we think of ourselves. Again, and I know because I've come from that state, And it's very difficult, but we don't realize that the answer is within ourselves, and many times we lash out and we're, you know, we're thinking it's our men, it's our children, and this, that, and the other, and actually it's just the other way around that we can actually change our entire reality. And it, where do we start? We start right where we are, and we start step by step. And it deals with the faith and whatever faith that you're believing in. And just making sure that we're the best that we can be, in terms of relationships. And, let me just say this, that, another thing we're not knowing is because we haven't had a rites of passage here on these lands here. And so a lot of times it's not until we're adult women and men do we really find out that we didn't know what we were doing. But I do think it's important, we have, a matter of fact, I think Dr. Africa did a tape on Ma'atan relationships, and we even did one here. It's very interesting, brother, to learn that we are blaming ourselves and not understanding the nature of feminine and masculine energies, not male-female, but there's energies in the universe, universal male, universal female, and we want the same thing, but we don't realize that we actually operate differently. We know this, but we don't understand it on a technical level. And I don't know if this, you know, we have enough time to really go into that, but I will say that the information is available, where we can begin to, eradicate a lot of things that we think, it's very illusionary that we think that we have a lot of problems. We really don't. And we're blaming things, and we're blaming, and it's not really our fault. You know, we're, let me just give you an example, you know, the emotional states that we're in, and you know, the foods and everything we're being manipulated on, based on feelings, how we feel, and they know that women are based on that, and so I'm just saying that we just need to be a different mindset. A different mindset is this: how can I? What is it that I can do? And not see, we keep going out. What are they, you? Let's go within, and let's start there. Let's start there and then move from there, because all the answers are within us.
Ashe. I think that was a great, you know, full, you know, dialogue, and I guess explanation to the question that we asked. You know, I just wanted to just add very quickly before we close out. We probably have about another 8 minutes or so before we close. And just, you know, quickly, when you were talking about the oneness and the Netaru and what have you, we see the same thing with the Orisha tradition, you know, and I don't want to talk too long about this, but, you know, when it comes in studying and practicing Orisha, you know, we come in with the notions, many of which were picked up by the Cubans or through the Catholics and essentially through the Europeans, is this whole notion of Oshun being a woman, or Shango, who actually was a human being, but was, you know, is a man, or Eshu is a man, and Obama is a man. You know, we begin to masculize, or I guess genderize the Orisha, and not understanding that it's
right.
The oneness, right, it's the oneness of the energy of the Orisha, not necessarily whether he was a man or a woman, and you know, and those kind of things. Those are notions that we put on the Orisha, you know, and not really understanding the full spirit of the energy itself. You know, so it's something to be learned in our tradition also, Baba, and I appreciate, and Eon, I appreciate the dialogue on that. We're closing out. We probably have a good 10 minutes left. So, you know, I want you all just very quickly, as educators, both as trained, you know, teachers, but also educators in the larger sense, I want you all to very quickly just speak on this whole notion of African-centered education. And the importance of us not only having our own schools, but teaching our children from our own paradigms so that our children can then grow up and have some sense of sovereignty, not only of mind, but of an economic standing. I know Sister Kanke, who I speak to all the time, Orisha priest, notice I didn't say priestess, but priest, in the tradition, always talks about African people having to have some economic backing to our institutions. And so can we speak to that very quickly in the last few minutes that we have?
Yes, well, you know, you open up the program, letting people know that even that's how we met is through African-centered education.
Right.
We're both components of that, but we believe that parents are supposed to be the first educators. And parents are supposed to be the primary educators, not the school. School should be secondary, like a finishing school and stuff, but parents, because they've been taught to pass that buck off, that responsibility off, that's why our children are in a crisis state. And that's what's happening right now. We're in a crisis state, because we don't understand our own culture. We don't understand our own paradigm. So that's the state we happen to be in at this moment. The classes that I teach, in the community here in our Rites of Passage, is the same classes. I teach the same classes in the university. I'm teaching classes at a couple of universities right now. I'm teaching the Madunetra. And again, we're stressing that, I even tell those students, you have to come to this university focused, because the university is here to teach you to get a job. This university is here to teach you to be a pawn for a system that's designed to destroy you.
That's right.
And if you're not down with the program of perpetuating the enslavement of your people, you're not going to get very far in that institution. And that's just the reality of it. So I wanted to do a shout-out for my book, Spiritual Warriors Are Healers, because we use that at the university, and I use it here in the community, and we're on our second printing of the book. I have my own publishing company, Chahuti Haru Nepu Publishing Company. And so we're having a fantastic spread. Now we have about, maybe 50, homeschoolers who are using my book as a primary, resource in their homeschooling. And then they supplement it with all the other African-centered things that have to be. And African-centeredness, Malefi Asante, Afrocentricity, kind of coined that statement that we've all been using, but African, it simply means that your own spiritual and cultural system is at the center of your life, and you
right.
define things from that paradigm. That's not dangerous. A wolf's center is from the center of the wolf's life for his survival. The bear's center is a bear centricity, and if the bear stops thinking like a bear, he ceases to exist. A lion has lion-centricity, right? And so as the lion stops thinking like a lion, he ceases to exist, right?
He died.
And so now people are upset because Africans are talking about African-centricity. And as soon as we stop thinking like that, we cease to exist. And as indigenous people, we have to understand what is the paradigm that we as indigenous... So remember, we're the indigenous aboriginal people on every continent on the planet Earth.
Right.
And so we all have something in common. We're the first people here in North America. We're the first people in South America. We know we're the first people in Africa. We're the first people in Asia. We're the first people in Europe. Okay, so we are the indigenous people. But we have to center ourselves in our culture. And so that's, and your school perpetuates that. And so public school is the enemy of indigenous aboriginal people. Actually, public school is a criminal institution.
That's right.
And we don't advise anybody who is an indigenous person on the planet to send their, can you imagine calves and sheep sending their their offspring off to what school? Can you imagine baby deer sending their children, their calves, off to lion school?
That's right.
And then we wonder why we're in this situation? No. Okay, so I think I've coined why we, express the nature of Afrocentricity and African centeredness. If you're not centered, then you're part of somebody else's program. I'll say that again. If you don't have a program that's centered, then your program is part of somebody else's program who probably doesn't have your best interests at heart.
I say.
Okay.
All right.
But again, Bruce just had to walk away for just one second.
Okay, we have about 4 minutes.
Okay. All right. So, can you, is there another question to ask?
No. Please close out for us. You know, just give us your last thoughts.
Okay.
If you have a story you want to tell or a proverb, but just give us your last thoughts and make sure at the tail end of that you give us a way that we can connect with you again.
Okay. I just want to be able to close out by talking about at the center of our spiritual system, at the center of our cultural system, is a concept called Ma'at. And Ma'at is truth, justice, righteous, harmonious, balance, reciprocity. And see, some of us are afraid of reciprocity. Reciprocity says when something has done wrong, not only do you correct it, but you compensate those people for their loss. And that's Ma'at. Ma'at is love. And love is the expression of Ma'at, the spiritual harmony between all forces in the universe is Ma'at. Ma'at is the spirit that is the web that makes everything correct. And then by listening to our internal soul, we learn that the soul loves because it needs to be loved. So let your love bind your soul, harness it, protect it, and spirit and this spirit will make you one. We are the love of life, and because we are life, and therefore we love life. And we are divine beings. I need to, usually when I sign a book for somebody, I say we are divine spiritual beings having a divine human experience. And you see, we are treating ourselves like we're not divine. That's one of our major problems with the body. We're not treating ourselves like we are divine beings. My mother used to tell me, boy, you better get this right, because God don't make no junk. I was like, whoa, that kind of shook me up. God don't make no junk,
right.
So get yourself together here, And so if we are divine spiritual beings having a divine human experience, the idea is this human experience is supposed to pull us back towards our divine spiritual being. So when we no longer are in this physical body, we go back to the spirit. And the quality of that will depend on the message that we're doing right now. And so we have to treat each one of us as divine beings. And hopefully next time I'll get a chance to really go into that in greater detail.
All right.
We'd like to thank you very much for bringing us on.
All right. I want to thank you all for coming on. I greatly appreciate it. We have to close out now. Again, I want to thank everyone for listening to the Liberated Zone here on Harambe Radio. We will have Bob Mfudishi and Hamet Sashatmas on again. And again, the Liberated Zone next week with Brother Divine Allah on Monday at 9 p.m. Asheo.